Among a fallen tree. Dark hair. Gray sweater. Muddy jeans. Danny stood up on shaky legs and made her way over. She reached down and pulled a clump of leaves and hair away from the woman's face. Melody's eyes, now gray and filmy, stared back in death.
Chapter 24. Colt. Northern California Forest, 6 p.m.
We need to get back. Danny will be waiting for us.
Doug tramped on ahead.
I have to find Melody.
Colt cursed under his breath. This entire expedition had gone to hell in a handbasket.
You need to accept reality, Doug.
She's out here somewhere, hurt or in trouble. I will find her.
Doug kept walking. With no plan and no destination in mind, he'd been circling the Humvee and growing more and more agitated as the minutes ticked by.
We need to regroup and set up camp. I'm not saying we leave.
Good, because that isn't an option.
Colt stopped in his tracks.
Damn it, Doug, we need a plan. I can't keep following you as you circle the drain.
Doug spun around to face Colt, fury and fear in his eyes.
I'm not giving up on her. She's the only family I have left. Melody means everything to me.
Colt inhaled. They must have bushwhacked through 5 miles of forest, maybe more, with no sign of Melody. Colt could get them back to the Humvee, but it would be a hell of a lot harder in the dark. He appealed to the man's common sense.
As soon as the sun sets, we'll be blind out here.
How can we help your sister if we get hurt ourselves? Doug refused to listen.
I won't stop looking.
He spun back around and charged through the next clump of trees.
Melody! Mel! Can you hear me? Melody!
Without food or water, exhaustion would take Doug faster than it took Colt. It had been years since he'd roughed it out in the field, but the memory of combat still lingered in his blood. He could survive worse conditions than this, but a civilian wasn't as hardy. Even a firefighter had limits.
He checked the safety on his rifle for the 1,000th time and followed Doug deeper into the woods.
Melody! Melody!
Doug cupped his hands around his mouth and shouted until he grew hoarse.
Down here!
Doug whipped around.
I'm coming, Mel!
Colt hesitated. That wasn't Melody's voice. It wasn't deep enough or filled with enough fear.
Find the river!
Shit. It was Danny. If she was hollering for help, then something happened. Colt hustled after Doug. The younger man busted through the trees and slipped down the embankment like a bull finally freed from a pen. Branches snapped, rocks tumbled. Doug slid 10 feet at a time, but it didn't stop him. Colt couldn't keep up. Between the concussion and the bruises, he would never make it down the ravine that fast. He refused to break an ankle because Doug lost his mind. He lost sight of the man halfway down the ravine. It didn't take long to find him once Colt hit the ground. Danny stood on the edge of the water, rifle pointing at a space between her feet and Doug's bent-over body. He kneeled in the sand, arms outstretched. A woman lay on the bank of the river, wet hair tangled around her head like a crown. Melody.
From the looks of her, she'd been dead for hours.
Doug hauled her stiff and lifeless body against his chest, sobbing as he pushed the hair from her gray cheeks.
No, not you, not you.
He cradled his dead sister, rocking her back and forth as he stared at her open, sightless eyes. Colt glanced at Danny, a question in the tilt of his brow.
She shook her head. Just what he thought. Melody was dead when Danny found her. It made sense, from the way the body lay stiff and bent, with her neck twisted at an impossible angle, it was obvious what happened. Melody took a wrong turn and fell down the side of the hill. She died before she ever hit the ground. Colt peered through the trees. They had maybe 20 minutes of decent light left. He turned back to Doug.
I'm sorry, Doug.
Doug snapped his head up and pointed a shaky, accusatory finger at Danny.
She did this.
What? No.
Danny's mouth fell open as her gaze shifted between Doug and Colt.
I found her like that.
Liar! You pushed her, I know it!
Doug dropped his sister on the bank. Her arms splashed in the water as he rushed to stand. His nostrils flared as he took a step toward Danny.
Colt held up a hand. That's enough, Doug. She's told you the truth. Back off.
She's lying.
Doug's eyes stayed trained on Danny.
You've always been jealous of my sister. What? Did you see her wandering in the forest and push her? Did she ask for your help before you sent her to her death?
Danny clamped her mouth shut and her lips thinned to a line.
So you don't deny it! I knew it!
Doug took another step. Colt pulled his cig from the holster.
I told you. Not another step.
Doug's eyes flashed to Colt.
Did you tell her to do it?
Colt sighted the center of Doug's chest. Don't be ridiculous. I've risked my life to save you and Melody. Why would I want her dead?
Maybe this was your plan all along. Get us all out here. Pick us off one by one. For all I know, you staged the accident.
Doug took a step toward Colt.
Tell me, did you know those men in the Mustang? Are they part of your crew?
Was it the dehydration, hunger, or grief that concocted these crazy theories?
Maybe all three.
Colt exhaled. Doug wouldn't rile him up.
You're exhausted and starving, Doug. You're not thinking straight.
Oh, I disagree. In fact, I think I'm finally seeing clearly.
He took another step and a smile tipped his lips.
What are you going to do? Shoot me?
If I have to. How about we just take a step back and relax? We can hike down to the Humvee while there's some light left, get some sleep, and discuss this like adults in the morning.
Danny interrupted.
I don't think...
Doug turned on her.
That's right. You never think about anyone but yourself. This whole mess wouldn't have happened if you never showed up at Harvey's place. The asshole hadn't taken you in and felt sorry for you. My sister would still be alive. We would still be sitting in our parents' house, comfortable and happy.
He twisted back and looked at his sister's body.
Melody would still be alive.
As Doug stared at his sister's body, Lottie burst through the brush at the river's edge. She scampered up to Melody, yipping and barking. Leaves and twigs matted the poor dog's fur as she sat at her dead master's side. Colt swallowed. Everything had gone so horribly wrong. He cared for Melody. Hell, he could have fallen for her if the situation were different. And now, she was dead, and her brother was falling apart. He lowered the gun and stepped forward.
Let's go back, Doug. We can carry Melody together and find a beautiful spot to bury her.
Doug screamed in anguish. Lottie cowered, but she wouldn't leave Melody's side. Doug rushed toward the little dog, hands outstretched like talons. Danny shouted out,
If you touch that dog, you're a dead man.
Doug kept walking.
You don't have the balls.
Danny aimed and fired at a spot 3 feet to Doug's left.
Want a bet?
Shit. Colt didn't know how to defuse the situation. Doug wasn't thinking clearly, and Danny wasn't about to back down. As Colt stood there, gun still aimed at Doug, the grieving man spun around. He unslung his rifle and pointed it at Danny, but his grip was all wrong. Even if Doug got a shot off, the kick would send him backward into the river. He'd end up on his ass before he could shoot again. Colt spoke slowly and without emotion.
Don't do this, Doug. You don't want to die today.
Don't I? What's the point now? Melody's dead. Harvey and Gloria and Will are dead. Larkin is God knows where.
He waved the rifle around, finger too tight on the trigger.
We're going to die out here anyway. Might as well get it over with.
You're in shock. Hand me the rifle, and we can talk about it in the morning.
Doug swung the gun back to Danny.
No, she deserves to be punished.
Colt had to give Danny credit. She stood still, aiming at Doug's chest, saying nothing. The barrel of the rifle didn't even shake. The girl might make it in this new world after all. As they all stood there in a stalemate, Lottie let out a single high-pitched bark. Doug turned. It was Colt's chance. If he wanted to take the man out, now was the time. He He took aim. His finger slipped around the trigger as Larkin burst through the trees.
Well, I'll be damned if it isn't...
Oh, shit. He stumbled to a stop at the sight of Melody's corpse. Doug spun around and pointed his rifle at Larkin.
Stand back!
Larkin lifted his hands. I don't know what's going on, but you need to lower your weapon.
Were you in on it?
In on what? Larkin glanced at Colt as another figure emerged from the trees. Colt blinked in surprise. A man in his mid-40s with a 2-inch beard came to a stop next to Larkin, his blue eyes clear and calm. It can't be. Walter Sloan? Is that you?
Chapter 25. Colt. Northern California Forest. 7 p.m. Walter Sloan, the pilot who landed a commercial jet on a tiny runway after the power went out. The first man to save Colt's life post-EMP. What the hell was he doing in the middle of the Northern California Forest? He looked a little older, maybe a little more haggard, but otherwise the man appeared in excellent health. A beard coated his previously clean jaw, and out of the pilot's uniform he seemed a bit younger, but it was definitely the same man. Colt nodded in his direction.
Good to see you again, pilot. Wish the circumstances were better.
Walter nodded, but didn't say anything. Colt tried to take in the scene from Walter's perspective. An air marshal and a teenage girl pointing weapons at a distraught man standing over the corpse of a woman. Not exactly the warmest welcome. Larkin stared at Melody's dead body where it lay on the creek's edge. Colt could see the emotion working behind the man's clenched jaw. After a moment, Larkin glanced up at Doug.
Is there a problem?
Are you blind? Melody's dead!
Doug jerked his rifle in Danny's direction.
And it's all her fault.
Larkin managed to keep his voice even. Is that right?
No.
Danny shook her head while she held the rifle.
I found her in the river. She was already dead.
The ravine is almost hidden in the tree line. Colt tilted his head toward the embankment. Melody must have fallen. Doug trembled.
No way. Melody wouldn't be so careless.
Colt pressed on. She was distraught. Harvey's death wrecked her. Don't you remember, Doug? She could barely stand at his grave. The rifle in Doug's hands shook.
I don't believe it.
Colt tried again. It would have been easy to catch a rock or break a leg. I slid a bunch of times.
Better you than her.
That's enough, Doug. Larkin eased forward again. Danny told you what happened. Let it go.
I won't!
Colt watched Larkin. He couldn't get a read on his old friend. How much had he shared with Melody? Had their relationship changed into something more? As Larkin stepped toward Doug, Colt prepared to shoot anyone who made a wrong move. Larkin pulled a pistol from his waistband and held it close to his chest. He reached out with his other hand to Doug. Hand me the weapon.
No!
Doug swung the rifle in Larkin's direction.
It's mine!
Larkin didn't even flinch. If I remember correctly, it actually belongs to that asshole who killed the Wilkins family. Doug stared at the dark metal barrel for a moment. It was enough for Larkin. He lunged for the gun and plucked it from Doug's hands before he had time to react. Doug stood there, hands still in the shape of the rifle, frozen. Larkin turned to Walter. Does your offer still stand? Walter glanced at Colt.
Yes. But the first sign of trouble, and you will all have to leave. Understood?
Colt didn't know what the hell was going on, but if Walter was offering, he was taking, whatever it might turn out to be. He nodded at Walter before turning his attention on Doug. The man needed to come to terms with reality. Colt holstered his weapon and approached. We can all help with Melody, if that's what you want. Doug shuddered while he stared at his sister's corpse.
No. She's my responsibility. I can bury her.
Colt exhaled. He didn't want to push, but leave Doug there to handle his sister on his own? He stepped back to stand beside Danny and motioned for her to stand down. She lowered the rifle with a scowl. Larkin bent down and scooped Lottie up into his arms. Walter has some food. I'm going to get Lottie something to eat. Is that all right, Doug? Melody's brother swayed back and forth on his feet, never once taking his eyes off her body. Fine. Larkin motioned to Walter, and the pair of them eased around Doug and joined Colt and Danny on the bank. Walter gave Colt's hand a quick shake.
Looks like you all are in a bind.
Colt nodded.
That's an understatement. I've got a base camp not far from here. You are welcome to come rest there.
We've got a Humvee up the hill with some gear and quite a few weapons.
Walter nodded.
We can collect everything tomorrow. How about all of you come with me before it's too dark to see?
Colt glanced up at the sky. Sometime during the altercation with Doug, the sun had set. They didn't have long.
Thank you, but someone should stay with Doug.
No! I want to be alone.
Colt knew the man's grief was eating him up, but he couldn't leave Doug to the elements.
What will you do overnight?
Bury my sister.
Larkin caught Colt's eye. I'll come back to check on him in a while. Leaving Doug didn't sit well with Colt, but what choice did he have?
If he stayed, it would only prolong the conflict. If he left, Doug could mourn his sister in peace. Both options were terrible, but with reluctance, Colt agreed. I'll be back at first light.
Doug didn't respond. He walked over to his sister's body and knelt by her side. Colt turned away. Doug needed time to grieve without a bunch of people he barely knew staring at him, wondering if he would crack.
Walter pointed downriver, and Colt, Danny, and Larkin fell into step behind him.
Lottie sat in the crook of Larkin's arm. Her little ears pricked as she listened to the evening animals of the forest waking up. The poor little scrap of a dog had been through more than most pets, and now her owner was dead. Colt didn't know how long an animal like Lottie would last in this new world, but he would try his best to keep her alive, for Melody's sake. With a heaviness in his heart, he left the woman he'd grown attached to in unexpected ways behind. So far, the trek out of Eugene had brought nothing but pain and misfortune. He hoped Walter's presence would turn the tide.
Chapter 26. Colt. Northern California Forest. 9 p.m. Colt swirled the last dregs of tea around his mug and gulped it down.
I can't thank you enough for letting us come here.
Walter nodded.
You're welcome. I could frankly do with some company. It's been a long week on my own.
Larkin, Walter, Colt, and Danny sat in a circle around a small fire, watching the flames dance. They'd been mostly silent for the past hour, drinking tea, eating some of Walter's jerky, and recovering from one hell of a day. Colt reached out with a stick and poked a log not yet burning into the fire.
So you've been out here hunting?
Gathering anything I can find, really. Meat, edible plants, berries. If it's not poisonous and I can preserve it, that's what I aim to do.
Colt stretched out his left leg and rubbed at the healed knife wound in his thigh. He had bruises all over from the car crash, injuries from the last month that weren't completely healed, and a concussion that still made him close his eyes every now and then. Walter, on the other hand, seemed right as rain. For a man who set off with nothing but a pilot's uniform and a couple of granola bars, he'd done a hell of a lot better than Colt expected. With a stretch and a groan, Colt eased a loaded question across the night.
So, where are you located these days?
Walter smiled over the rim of his mug.
Not going to tell you that.
Fair enough. Colt glanced at Larkin and exhaled. He didn't expect the truth from Walter, even if he'd gotten an answer. They might have both survived the same emergency landing, but Walter didn't know Colt from a hole in the ground.
Tell me about Sacramento. It had to fare worse than Eugene.
Walter filled him in on the details, describing everything from the looting and fires to the National Guard sealing up the worst riots and letting them burn themselves out. It sounded like he barely escaped the violence. Walter poked a stick at the fire, keeping them warm.
What about Eugene? When I went through, it was fine. Why leave?
Colt shared his experience staying at the University of Oregon for the first 2 weeks and how the National Guard, who came to help, went rogue. He told Walter all about Jarvis and the night he barely escaped with his life and how Danny kept him alive and how Harvey took them in when they were on death's door. Larkin chimed in with what he experienced in Portland and then how the National Guard turned into a militia. At the end of it all, Walter nodded.
If there's anything I've learned this past month, it's that finding people to trust is worth more than any skill.
Colt agreed. He didn't know which one fared worse, the big city with complete lawlessness or the small town with a despot for a ruler. But the conversation with Walter solidified his decision to find a remote place on his own. Nowhere bigger than a few thousand people would be functional now. Small towns with tight-knit communities might be able to carry on with some semblance of normalcy, but without the government as de facto leaders, the power loss would warp everyone eventually. He thought about all of his assignments halfway across the world and the tribal factions that mattered more than any dictator or president. America was in the throes of crisis, and in desperate times, not always the best men and women took charge. While Walter poured another cup of tea, Colt took stock. A single tent for one in forest green sat concealed among the trees on the edge of the camp. Sacks of gathered food sat beside the entrance. A crazy box with aluminum foil sides and a clear plastic lid took up residence not far from the fire. Colt squinted at it. Was it a storage container? A magnifying glass? All of a sudden it clicked. A solar cooker. Smart. The fire in the middle was one of two. Another, larger version, with rocks and sheets of metal anchored the opposite corner of the camp. A deer carcass hung above it, high enough to avoid animals attracted by the smell as it smoked. Colt pointed at the setup.
Are you cooking all of that meat?
Walter glanced behind him.
Hoping to smoke it, actually. It won't keep unless I preserve it somehow. I wanted to can it, but the logistics were too hard. I made jerky out of the last one, but I wanted to try my hand at something different this go-round.
The difference between their situations was staggering. In town, they were rummaging through houses and fending off hostiles and barely surviving. Out in the woods, Walter had abundance and plenty. Colt glanced at Danny. She sat a few feet away, toes pointed toward the fire, while Lottie slept in her lap. She chewed on a strip of deer jerky in silence, watching the flames. The little dog had gorged herself on scraps of the hanging deer while Walter had stoked the fire and put the water on to boil. If Colt didn't have the wounds to prove it, he could almost forget the rest of the country was falling apart. He nudged Danny's foot with his boot. You can curl up somewhere and sleep. She raised her exhausted head.
Where?
Walter pointed at a large leafy tree among the pines.
There's a soft spot beneath the white alder over there. You'll be close enough to the smoker that you shouldn't be cold.
Danny glanced at it but didn't move. Colt nudged her again.
I'll wake you if anything happens.
You promise?
He nodded, and Danny reluctantly stood, carrying her rifle with her over to the tree. She patted the ground around the trunk and eased herself down. Lottie trotted up and tucked herself by Danny's side. Colt waited for a handful of minutes before turning back to Walter. He needed to clear the air. I'm sorry again about the scene with Doug. We only beat you to the river by a few minutes.
Larkin told me you already lost two people.
Three. Colt glanced at Larkin. The man had been quiet for the better part of the night. Harvey's dead, too.
Damn it.
Larkin scrubbed a hand down his face.
It wasn't supposed to go like this.
Colt agreed. Ever since they left Eugene, their luck had taken a turn for the worse. I'm sorry about Melody.
Are you sure she fell?
As sure as I can be. For one, I believe Danny. For another, Melody's neck was broken. Leaves and twigs were all tangled in her hair, and her jeans were covered in mud. I'm not a detective, but it sure as hell looked like an accident. Larkin nodded and stood up. I'm going to check on Doug.
Are you sure?
He paused as a shadow crossed his face.
I also want to pay my respects.
Colt nodded.
See you in the morning.
Larkin slung a rifle over his shoulder and took off. After his footsteps faded into the night, Colt turned to Walter.
How did you and Larkin find each other?
I came across him near Highway 58. Told me he'd been chased by a pair of men up to no good and was trying to find his way back to his group. I offered to help. We were on our way to this place when we came across you all.
Colt snorted. They only ran into each other on accident. Maybe their luck hadn't completely run out.
How did you end up with the girl? Was she on the plane?
No. Colt leaned back and took another sip of tea. I found her, on the streets in Eugene. She'd been caught by a soldier who wanted to bring her in. He didn't have good intentions, so I rectified the situation.
And you two have stuck together ever since?
She saved my life, and I've saved hers. Colt glanced at Danny's sleeping form. Guess she's the closest to family I'm ever going to get. Walter nodded.
In times like these, family is what matters.
How about you? Did you find your wife and daughter?
Walter didn't answer. Instead, he sipped his tea. After a moment, he changed the subject.
Tell me about the gun haul. Larkin described the car crash and the two men in the Mustang. I want your take on it.
Colt relayed what he knew. When he finished, he asked the question that burned in the back of his mind ever since overhearing the two men talk. Do you know anything about this Cunningham fellow?
If it's the man I'm thinking of, he can't be trusted.
Walter stared past the glow of the small fire at their feet and into the darkness.
He's more of a cult leader than anything else. One of those end times types.
Not the answer Colt hoped to hear.
What else do you know?
Not much. We've tried to keep clear.
We. That meant Walter wasn't alone. Colt figured as much, but confirmation was good. Maybe Walter would be willing to take them in for a time, at least until they could regroup and determine where to go. He tossed out a feeler.
Our group plans to head to Lake Tahoe.
No, I wouldn't. It's overrun with people from Reno and Sacramento. Everyone flocked to it when they fled the cities.
Damn.
Then where do you suggest?
Somewhere small, with access to running water. A place that you can secure without constant patrols and can keep you alive through the winter. We'll have a cool, comfortable summer in these parts, but winter comes in hard and quick if you aren't ready for it.
Colt snorted. Nowhere like that existed without planning. So, fairy tale land, that's what you're saying.
You just have to take your time and look.
I'm not sure time is on our side.
Then I guess you'll have to work a bit.
Larkin burst into the clearing as Walter spoke. His face was flushed with exertion, but his eyes held nothing but pain and dread.
Whatever he had to say, it wasn't good.
Day 34. Chapter 27. Danny. Northern California Forest. 7 a.m. Danny sat up and rubbed the sleep from her eyes. Despite passing out on the forest floor, she actually felt halfway decent. It had been the first night since Colt regained consciousness at Harvey's place that she didn't wake up every hour. Exhaustion had its merits. She brushed the dirt and leaves off her jeans and headed out into the woods to find a secluded spot to relieve herself. It sure beat nasty toilets and city sewage. She tramped back into the clearing as Walter emerged from his tent. Danny glanced around. The fire was out, and Lottie still slept in the same spot she'd left her. She didn't bother to say hello. Where are Colt and Larkin? Walter glanced up as he zipped the tent closed. They left early this morning. Danny frowned. It was unlike Colt to leave without telling her. Is something wrong? Walter hesitated. If you don't tell me, I'm setting off to find them right now. Walter exhaled.
You're a lot like my daughter. Strong-willed and impatient.
He walked over to the fire and crouched in front of it.
Larkin left to check on your friend last night. When he came back, he said Doug was missing.
What do you mean, missing?
Walter shrugged. That's all I know. Colt made the decision to sleep for a few hours, said he wouldn't be any good on a night mission in his state. They took off as soon as it lightened up enough to see. Danny shook her head. He should have told me. I could help. Colt would like you to stay. Danny threw her hands in the air. That's ridiculous. Three sets of eyes are better than two. I'm sure between an army officer and a former SEAL, they can find one city firefighter in the woods. How would you know? Marine Corps, retired. Danny frowned. She hated the thought of Colt out there without her, but Walter had a point. Larkin would be a better sidekick than she could ever be. But it didn't mean she wanted to be left behind. What if they ran into trouble? So many questions swirled around in her head. So many conflicting emotions. She didn't know the man crouched in front of the fire. He seemed like a good guy, but even her mom could clean up nice. Danny had half listened to the men talk about how they met and their experiences over the last month, but she'd been so tired. She missed plenty. Part of her wanted to stay like Colt asked, and part of her wanted to rush out and find him. She chewed on a nail. So you have a daughter? Walter nodded. She's a few years older than you. Almost finished her second year in college before the EMP. Are you a good father? The question caught Walter off guard and he blinked. You don't mince words, do you? What's the point? It's not like being polite will get me anything but dead. I suppose not. Walter flicked a lighter and held it to a dry bit of fluff. It caught on fire, and he eased it under the half-burned logs from the night before. Only then did he answer. I'd like to think of myself as a good dad, yeah. I love my daughter. I would do anything to protect her and keep her safe. Maybe I was a little hard on her when she was younger, but I hope she appreciates it now. Danny swallowed. Walter sounded like the best dad ever. What she would have given for someone other than Gran to give a rip about her. She worked her lower lip back and forth between her teeth. Where is she now? Why isn't she out here with you? He watched the flames of the fire rise as he answered. When we left Sacramento, we headed up here to a cabin one of my daughter's friends knew about. It's safe and secure, and Madison is with her mother. I'm here pulling my weight. I can't live off other people's generosity. I have to contribute. Danny knew exactly how he felt. She tucked a strand of hair behind her ear. Thank you for letting us stay here overnight. It sounded like you were in a desperate situation. She pursed her lips. I'm not giving up. I never said you were. The car crash wasn't our fault. We couldn't do anything to stop it. I didn't say it was. Colt and I will make it. We're survivors. Danny didn't know why she felt the need to defend herself to this stranger, but she couldn't help it. He needed to know she wasn't some helpless girl who needed saving. She would survive, even if he turned his back on them. Walter poked at the fire. I've got some food if you're hungry. It's not bacon and eggs, but there's more jerky, and I dried some early salmon berries I found the other day. There's even a patch of miner's lettuce closer to the creek. Danny's mouth opened, but no sound came out. She swallowed and tried again. I've already taken some of your food. I can go without. It's not a problem. He stood and made his way to a collection of sacks of various sizes before waving her over. Come, I'll show you. Walter pulled open a sack at his feet. He scooped a small cup into the sack and came out with some pink things that looked like lumpy raisins. Salmon berries usually aren't ripe until May or June, but this bush must have gotten a bunch of early sun. He held the cup out as Danny walked up. I dried them a few days ago. Help yourself. Danny plucked a single fruit. She sniffed it before taking a tentative bite. Sugar and tart exploded inside her mouth, and she almost smiled. It's kind of like a raspberry. Indeed. Walter closed the bag before reaching for another. I've also harvested some burdock root. We can mash it up and fry it. Tastes sort of like a parsnip. A parsnip? Danny racked her brain but came up empty. Is that like a potato? Walter chuckled. Let me guess. You grew up in the city. Danny didn't know what to say, so she shoved another dried berry in her mouth. She didn't want to tell the man that he might as well be speaking a foreign language. Memories of Gloria teaching her how to shell peas sprang to mind, and Danny's tongue turned to lead. She forced the berry down her throat and thumped her chest. My mother wasn't really good with this sort of stuff. I'd be happy to teach you. Danny focused on the ground. Why was he being so nice? Did he want something? Was he going to use her against Colt somehow? He couldn't be just a good guy with no ulterior motives. People like that didn't survive anymore. It didn't work for the Wilkins family or Melody, or maybe even Doug. She kicked at a pine cone and watched it roll away. Why are you being so nice to me?
Because the more I get to know you, the more hope I have for the future.
Danny glanced up. He didn't seem to be blowing smoke. The open look on his face said he meant every word. It didn't make sense. Why would anything she said give him hope? I'm nothing special.
That's exactly why I have hope. You're not standing there snarfing down my food, or complaining about the woods, or thinking only of what you've lost.
I would never do that.
Because you aren't looking for someone else to save you. You've decided to save yourself.
Danny supposed Walter was right. Was that the difference between her life before the EMP and now? Before the grid failed, was she spending her days secretly wishing for someone to swoop in and save her from her mom and the life she was forced to live? She sucked in a deep breath and huffed it out. Maybe Walter was everything he said he was, and more. But she wouldn't take his generosity lying down. She pointed at the sack. Would you mind showing me what you've harvested? I need to know what's edible around here. Walter smiled. It would be my pleasure. The two of them worked through every sack and container Walter had assembled, and then moved on to various plants around the campsite. Danny sampled everything from miner's lettuce to dandelion greens to young cattail shoots. Walter explained what grew when and what to look for along the creek bed versus inside the forest. He even showed Danny how to make tea out of elderberry flowers and wild violets. She smiled over the rim of her mug. Thank you for everything. I never knew so much food grew in the middle of nowhere.
Believe me, neither did I. If it weren't for some enterprising friends of my daughter, I wouldn't be much better off than you. I can hunt, but I always left the foraging to others.
Danny sipped her tea and nodded. For the first time in forever, hope blossomed in her chest. Even if they had to camp in the woods, with a little bit of knowledge, they could survive. She turned to reach for the pot of hot water when the mug in her hands shattered. Ceramic shards flew in all directions. One jagged piece lanced her cheek, and Danny screamed. Walter grabbed her and dragged her to the ground. Get to the rifles, now! He shielded her with his body as they scrambled across the ground. Shots rang out from a position deep in the forest. Danny couldn't tell if it was one shooter or a whole militia full of men. Blood coated her cheek and oozed down her neck as bullets pocked the dirt at her feet. Walter lunged for a rifle and tossed it back to her as she spun around. Whoever was shooting wouldn't kill her without a fight.
Chapter 28. Colt. Northern California Forest, 7 a.m. Where the hell did he go? Colt traipsed through the forest an arm's length away from Larkin. The pair had been circling the muddy river bank where they found Melody's body for over an hour looking for any sign of her brother. Hell if I know. What did he do with Melody's body? Colt
couldn't make heads or tails of what must have happened in the night. When Larkin came back to Walter's camp explaining he couldn't find Doug, Colt blew it off. He figured the guy needed some time to grieve. The last thing Colt wanted to do was confront Doug again in the dark, but now that they couldn't find a single trace of him, Colt second-guessed himself. Maybe if they'd gone straight back and hunted the surrounding area, they would have come across him and been able to calm the grieving man down. "We've looked up and down the creek, and he's not there. I didn't see any mound for a burial site either." Larkin paused to think. "That means he either took her body back to the Humvee, or he's gone completely crazy and run off with her into the forest." Colt gulped a mouthful of water from the canteen Walter let him borrow and nodded. "Let's hit the Humvee. If he's there, great. If not, we can strip the Humvee and haul everything back to the camp." "What do you know about Walter?"
"He saved an entire plane load of people when the power went out." Colt scratched at his beard. "Beyond that, not much. He left as soon as we landed, said he had a wife and daughter in Sacramento he needed to get back to."
"Where are they?"
Colt shrugged. "Somewhere safe is my guess. You've seen his setup. He's obviously gathering food for more than just himself."
Larkin nodded. "I was so thankful when I ran into him yesterday. I didn't ask any questions. A man with venison jerky in his pocket is a good man to know."
Colt agreed. If all went well, running into Walter might mean the difference between living and merely hanging on. "I think we should offer him some of the guns and ammo. It's the least we can do."
"Sounds fair. It's not like we can carry them all anyway."
The pair of military men lapsed into silence as they hiked toward the Humvee. Colt kept his eyes open for any sign of Doug, but they reached the vehicle with no further clues as to the man's disappearance. Colt set his rifle down and leaned against the fender. "Let's strip this thing and then go dig up the weapons. We should be able to haul it all back if we use the cami netting to make a sled." After a few minutes of rest, Colt and Larkin set to work. Colt hauled the netting out of the rear of the vehicle and set the netting poles on top. Larkin popped the hood and pulled the easily accessible engine belts and the battery. The inside yielded the pioneer kit Colt had already used to bury Harvey, the Sing Car's radio and corresponding SL-3 kit. Colt thought back to the first night he regained consciousness at the Wilkins family home. Will had tuned in the radio to hear Walter's voice admonishing them to not give up hope. He wondered if the man still had the ability to broadcast. If he didn't, he would by the time Colt lugged the radio back to camp. Larkin stopped to stare at all the gear. "You find a pack mule in there, too?" Colt chuckled.
"I think you're looking at him."
"You find any whiskey in there?"
"Not a drop."
"Damn." Larkin shook his head. "That's priority number one when we find another town. Whiskey. I am not huffing all this stuff 100 miles without a payoff at the end."
"I'm hoping we won't have to go nearly that far."
Larkin paused. "Walter's place?"
"Or somewhere nearby. Can't hurt to ask."
"I suppose not. But you know what is gonna hurt?"
"Carrying all this."
"And the ammo, too." "Don't forget the ammo."
Colt groaned.
"Lead the way, soldier. I was too busy burying Harvey to know what you did with it."
Larkin motioned toward a makeshift path due south of the Humvee. He stopped at the base of a gnarled pine tree. The ground beneath the lower branches was fresh and free of debris.
"It should all be here. Guns and ammo both."
He frowned.
"I swear I covered it better than this, though."
With the shovel and the pickaxe, Colt and Larkin took turns digging up the loose soil above the guns. Colt struck something solid first.
"I've hit something."
Larkin gave a start. "No way. I buried everything way deeper than that."
He fell to his knees and used the pickaxe's blunt side to scrape away the dirt. Instead of a black duffel bag, he exposed the graying flesh of a human arm. He leaned back in shock.
"What the?"
Colt kneeled beside him, and together they uncovered enough of the body to confirm what neither expected. Melody.
"Doug must have buried her here." "But why?"
All the answers that he came to find filled Colt with dread. A few more than others.
"The bags might still be beneath her. We need to move her."
Larkin stared at Melody's corpse for a moment before moving.
"Right, of course."
He reached for her, sliding his hands beneath her ribs.
As he stood up, the dirt fell away, exposing her dark brown curls and the cold, dead skin. Colt attacked the hole with the shovel, scooping and throwing dirt as quickly as possible. After 5 minutes of solid effort, he stopped.
They aren't here.
Not a single one?
Doug took everything. The duffels, the ammo, all of it. I'm down to hard-packed earth.
Larkin's jaw tightened into a steel line. His muscles flexed as he lowered Melody back into the grave.
When we find him, I'm beating the answer out of him.
I don't care if he was Melody's brother or not.
Larkin stalked off to ready the supplies while Colt reburied Melody's body. By the time he finished, sweat soaked his shirt, but did nothing to dissipate his anger. Doug had been hard to read from the start. When they worked together to rescue Gloria from the militia, Colt thought the man had changed. But after this... If they did find Doug, Colt wouldn't stop Larkin from doing what he promised. They couldn't risk anyone's safety with a man who might have gone off the rails. Before he left, Colt paused at the edge of Melody's grave. He didn't have a cross or a bouquet of flowers, but he could say a few words.
I'm sorry for all that you suffered at the hands of Jarvis and Captain Ferguson and the militia. I never meant to mix you, your brother, or the Wilkins family up in any of it. You were nothing but kind to me. Hell, thanks to your handiwork with a needle, I'm not oozing pus and trying to chop off my own leg.
He knelt and put one hand on the middle of Melody's grave.
I'll miss you, Melody. I'm sorry you can't continue on this journey with us.
Colt walked back to the Humvee with a somber, heavy step. He found Larkin packed and ready. The former soldier leaned against the closed door and stared off into the distance.
Is it done?
Yes.
Larkin pushed off the door and reached for the sled he'd concocted out of the netting and poles.
Good. Let's get back to Walter and Danny.
Do you want to see it? Say anything?
No. Standing over her grave won't do anything but waste time.
I'm sorry, Larkin.
Me too.
He huffed one end of the pole up with a grimace.
Ready?
Colt grabbed the other pole and exhaled.
As I'll ever be.
Together, the two of them dragged the heavy load back to Walter's camp, over rises and down slopes, around trees and through mud. By the time they reached the river, both men were exhausted. Colt set his side down and stopped to splash water over his face. As Larkin bent to do the same, a shot rang out.
Colt stood up with a start.
Danny.
Larkin pulled his rifle off his shoulder. Let's go.
They were still a mile away. As they ran, more shots rang out, one after the other in a steady stream until the magazine emptied. 30 seconds later, the shots began anew.
We'll never make it. Whoever's shooting could fire 1,000 rounds at Danny and Walter before we reach the camp.
Colt picked up the pace.
Then we have to hope like hell. They've got somewhere to hide.
As he ran toward the sound of round after round, Colt threw up a prayer. If Danny and Walter could stay alive until they got there, Colt would put an end to it. Whoever was trying to kill them wouldn't make it out of that forest alive.
Chapter 29. Danny. Northern California Forest, 12 p.m. Danny didn't know where to aim. The sound of the shots echoed through the forest, and the rounds landing in the dirt weren't concentrated enough to matter. Walter dove behind a stack of firewood, and Danny scrambled after him. She ducked as another round sailed over her head and lodged in the pine 5 feet away. "Whoever's shooting is a terrible shot!" Walter pulled back the bolt action on his hunting rifle and turned toward the direction of the gunfire. Only one person came to mind. It's Doug.
What?
Walter glanced at Danny like she'd gone mad.
He's part of your group.
He blames me for Melody's death.
You didn't do it, did you?
Danny stomped her irritation down. Of course not. I liked Melody. She was my friend.
Then why is he shooting at you?
It's complicated. Walter ducked as another round sailed past them.
I'm not going anywhere.
Danny twisted in place until she could prop the rifle on a log halfway up the stack. If Doug made an appearance, she would be ready. As she stared down the barrel, she answered Walter. They were under the radar of the militia until we showed up. If Harvey hadn't taken me and Colt in, and if Melody hadn't saved Colt's life, then they would all still be in Eugene.
I see.
Danny cut Walter a glance. They didn't have to take us in. They could have left Colt on the street to die.
I suppose.
Or they could have kicked us out when he recovered. They made the choice to stand by us.
Then suffer the consequences?
Whose side are you on? Walter shrugged.
No one's, but now I'm stuck in the crossfire.
Then you need to choose. Danny concentrated on the forest. She was done talking to Walter. If he wanted to shoot her and wave the white flag of surrender, he could freaking go ahead. But she wasn't taking her eyes off the tree line. Doug was out there somewhere, and if Walter wasn't going to ruin her day, then she was going to take Doug down. The gunfire paused, and Danny took a chance.
What's the matter, Doug? Can't figure out how to reload?
She took off for the tent, ignoring Walter's shouts to stay hidden. As she dove behind the green nylon, another volley of fire rang out. It didn't matter. Danny wasn't going down like this. She wasn't letting a man stricken with grief put a bullet in her chest because he couldn't accept reality. She ran in a crouch out from the tent and into the dense foliage of the forest. Branches scraped her face and roots threatened to trip her up. But Danny kept going. She needed to lure Doug away from Walter and out into the open. A brave little bark sounded at her feet, and Danny glanced down. Lottie's brown and gray fur streaked past her toward the direction of the rounds.
Lottie! No!
Danny chased after the little dog. Lottie's speed increased the distance between them, but Danny followed the almost constant barking. As the sound grew louder, she slowed. Doug wouldn't shoot Melody's dog, would he? Ducking behind a tree, Danny took stock. The land around her rose in a gentle incline and up to what appeared to be the crest of a hill. The river tracked down behind her, too far to hear. All she could see were trees and brambles and leaves everywhere. Ferns covered the ground and obscured all but the largest tree roots. Lottie would be lost a foot beneath the ground cover. A bark sounded from up the hill. A shush followed right behind. Doug. If she could hear him, he couldn't be that far away. Danny eased down, slipping beneath fronds of the nearest fern and a branch of wild berry vine to hide. She rested her elbows on the ground and brought her rifle up tight to her shoulder. Uncomfortable as heck. But she could bear it. Another bark. Danny swung the rifle.
Shh, Lottie, please.
Bingo. This time, Danny spotted him. Doug kneeled on the forest floor, clutching Lottie to his chest. He stroked the little dog's fur as she licked him all over the face and yipped. Danny couldn't take the shot without risking Lottie's life. She didn't know what to do. Killing that little dog wasn't fair. Danny loved her. Melody loved her. She couldn't do that to Lottie. But she couldn't let Doug live either. He tried to kill her. He'd blamed her for his sister's death.
Set the dog down, Doug.
Danny swiveled in alarm. She would recognize Colt's voice anywhere. Where was he? She scanned the trees to her right, searching for any sign of the man. Nothing. He was concealed well. She turned back to Doug. He was doing the same, searching the woods for the source of Colt's voice. Clutching Lottie to his chest with one hand, he stood up with a handgun in the other.
This is all your fault!
No, it's not. Everyone had a choice. You made yours.
Melody didn't deserve to die.
No, she didn't. But it was an accident.
I wish you'd never stepped foot in Eugene.
Doug's voice grew more desperate with every word. It shook and trembled, and his grip on Lottie tightened so much, the dog yelped.
Put her down.
No! Doug jerked his head down to look at the dog, then back up to the forest. He brought his right hand with the gun up to Lottie and shoved the barrel into her chest. I'll shoot her. I swear to God I will. Just put her down and no one will get hurt. Danny wished she were a better shot. If only she could take him out. But no way would she be able to hit Doug and not hurt Lottie. She didn't know what to do. All she could hope for was that Colt and Larkin had a plan. Doug jerked the dog around, and she whimpered. Last chance, Doug. Put her down. No! Doug pulled back the hammer on the handgun. Danny braced herself. Could Colt really do it? Could he really shoot Doug and miss Lottie? We'll let you keep the guns. Let the dog go, and you can walk out of this forest with all the weapons and ammo, a free man. Doug turned around in a frantic circle, shaking his head as he held the gun on Lottie. He opened his mouth to speak, but Danny couldn't make out the words. She rose up out of the ferns and rushed forward. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mel. I have to do it. I'm so sorry. His frantic mumbling sent Danny into a panic. She rose up to her full height and exposed herself. No! Doug, if you're going to shoot anyone, shoot me! She held her arms out wide as Doug lifted his head. He moved his gun hand away from Lottie, and Danny screamed. Chapter 30. Danny. Northern California Forest, 12 p.m. A shot pierced the stillness. Danny staggered back. Doug crumpled to the forest floor. No! She rushed forward, tearing through the brush to get to Lottie. The little dog lay on the ground, still and not moving. Danny dove for her, heedless of Doug's body a few feet away. She scooped Lottie up into her arms. Please be alive, please. She stroked the little dog's fur, and a tiny grumble rumbled up from her throat. Danny exhaled in relief as Colt thundered up to her side. What the hell were you doing? Saving Lottie. Danny eased the little dog's fur away from her face, and Lottie's little black eyes blinked. She might be in shock or injured, but Lottie was alive. She looked up at Colt. Thanks for taking the shot. He shook his head. I didn't. Danny's eyes went wide. Then who did? Walter stepped out of the weeds and stopped beside Doug. He lowered himself into a crouch and felt for a pulse on Doug's neck. I did. I wasn't sure about the truth of this feud until that moment. He stood up with a solemn frown. You just don't kill a good dog. Larkin arrived on the scene from the other direction, half running, half skidding down the hill. I tried to come at him from the back, but I was too slow. It's all right. Colt tilted his head in Walter's direction. He took care of it. Larkin held out his hand, and Walter shook it. Thank you. You're welcome. Although the three of you owe me a new tent and some gear. Your friend here shot up my entire camp. Colt nodded. We owe you a lot more than that. Lottie squirmed in Danny's grip, and she bent to set the little dog on the ground. After a head-to-toe shake, Lottie scampered a few feet away, did her business, and rushed back to Danny's feet. She scooped her back up and smiled. I think she's going to be okay. Thanks to Walter. So are you. Colt stared at her, his eyes clouded and expression severe. Danny looked away. At last, Colt turned to Larkin. Help me dig another hole, will you? Larkin nodded. I'll get the shovel. Walter held his arm out for Danny. I can take you back to camp. We can chop up venison for Lottie and clean that wound on your face. Danny reached up to feel crusted blood covering her cheek. She swallowed. In the tumult of the shootout, she'd forgotten all about it. Thanks. Walter turned to Colt. You all right here? We are, thank you.
Danny let Walter lead her away from Doug's body and back to camp. She sat down next to the fire, in the same spot she'd been in before the shooting happened. Lottie settled in on her lap, nuzzling her hand until Danny relented and stroked her fur. It didn't seem real. Everyone they